The Gates of Terror by Nick Keim. Read by Jonathan Keeble.
We have not always seen eye to eye, you and I, said one.
He had a cultured voice, aging but redolent with power. The cadence of a statesman or a political negotiator. In the ancient days of old Earth, the Romanii Empire would have employed such men as spymasters.
But here we stand, fighting a war on two fronts, our purpose aligned at last.
Our purpose has ever been the same, said the other.
His timbre was much deeper, and it put the first speaker in mind, as it always did, of a stone-clad vault. There was no compromise in his tone. It, like him, was solid and unyielding, and yet the other was asking for just that, compromise.
It is our methods that differ.
There was power here, too, but martial rather than esoteric. He exuded strength, this one. Strength and intimidation.
Immediacy versus longevity. The two need not be mutually exclusive. Wars are won with more than bolters and blades.
He was just a man, the first speaker, a lesser being than the titan towering over him, but his presence was the equal of the other's physical stature.
But we are in agreement,
he asked, ensuring the warrior understood the precise nature of their compact. To do anything other could potentially undermine everything they sought to achieve in the breaking of their father's law.
Since Nikea, things have changed.
The warrior's silence suggested his discomfort at the plan, but he slowly nodded.
We do this for the new Imperium, said the first speaker. The ends justify the means. We are talking about survival.
Again silence. Then the slightest frown cracked the warrior's craggy countenance. He wanted to be away from this place, to be back at the walls where his unique gifts could be best employed. This Praetorian was not one given to skulking in shadows and talking in whispers.
Our first priority must be stopping the fleet from breaching our atmosphere. If we can halt them there, we can defeat them. Horus Lupercal might never reach the walls.
The first speaker narrowed his eyes, suggesting they both knew that was a very unlikely scenario.
My brother.
It was hard to say, and the warrior's lips curled when he used the word. Atrocities beyond comprehension. Fratricide on a terrible scale had soured respect and killed any bonds of brotherhood between them. Barely daring to admit it even to himself, the Praetorian wanted Horus to breach the cordon so he could crush him against the gates. Gauntleted hands became fists, the jaw locked, and words slipped through a portcullis of clenched teeth.
He will reach the wall.
Then we must use every weapon at our disposal. To do anything else would result in defeat for mankind.
The warrior exhaled long and deep, as if all his misgivings and reservations could be expelled with a single breath.
I am uncomfortable with this.
Of course you are. This is why I need your confidence. This is why it had to be only you that knew about it. We do not tread lightly over our father's edicts.
He is not your father.
He is father to all of us, Lord Praetorian. Is he not?
Meeting the statesman's gaze, the warrior's voice sank to an abyssal whisper.
He must never know.
Something was seeping from his ear. It ran down the lobe and across his cheek until it touched the hard floor underneath him. Twisting and coiling inside his mind, faint echoes of its intrusion lingered in his psyche like the shreds of a half-remembered dream. Serpentine and insidious, it left a cooling trail in its wake. It was warm at first and carried a metallic stink. Like armored shutters, Arkadazi's eyes snapped open. Blood was seeping from his ear. I'm wounded. But he could not recall any battle where he had sustained injury. Clad in pitted battle plate, he knew he was a warrior, felt it in the slow returning strength of his arm, the martial instincts flooding his brain with action and counteraction, the pulse of adrenaline urging him to move. Legionis. Pushing up onto his knees, the split ceramite of his armor shrieked a warning, and he felt the pain of his injuries anew. Agony flared down his side, white hot and angry. He crushed it down, wiped the blood from his scarred face with a gauntleted hand, and rose to his feet.
A report!
His voice sounded alien, cracked and rasping from lack of use. Instinct compelled the word. It was all Arcadesia had to go on. Stone walls, buttressed and adamantium reinforced, enfolded him. This place was strange, and yet familiar.
Holding, Lord Captain!
A warrior in cobalt blue power armor replied. He carried the Ultimar upon his left pauldron, the mark of Gilliman's Legion, the same as Arcadesi. This warrior was his company brother, but he could not remember his name.
Lieutenant,
he managed, recognizing the rank markings on his battle plate.
Help me to my station.
At once, Lord Captain.
Thunder sounded within the confines of the fortress, booming from the two pairs of macro cannons emplaced in the fortress's walls far to the left and right of Arcadesi's command throne. Each was manned by a company brother, ultramarines, whom Arcadesi should know but did not recognize. Sitting down, the control ports of the throne jacking into his armor, he tried to capture some sense of the reality around him, but it was indistinct. The now of the moment was visceral, tangible, but possessed no context. Like pieces of an image resolving through a haze, Arcadesi began to assemble the disparate elements of his situation.
I have been wounded, he knew. A head injury.
Through a broad vertical slit directly in front of him, a distant battle was being fought. Massed ranks of infantry and armored columns ploughed across a killing field on a collision course with a slew of drop pods descending to earth on contrails of fire. Even with the limited view afforded through the vision slit, Arcadesi had never seen so many.
Not since Ulanor.
And back then the spears of fire had been his allies, in days of glorious war, when purpose was just and the enemy clear. Jealousy and betrayal, the canker of deep-seated fraternal rivalry, had muddied all that. Pain flashed again, but this was a relic, a phantom dredged from memory. Acutely, he was reminded of the crude bionics that supported over half his body.
Lord Captain,
uttered Lieutenant, standing ramrod straight to the immediate right of Arcadesi's command throne as he pointed with a gauntleted finger. Arcadesi followed, and, as if it was being revealed to him for the first time, he noticed the bank of view screens around the vertical slit. On several of the display screens, he saw the blue-green orb of terror, and knew then how close the war had come. They stood at the last gate.
The Warmaster's vanguard has breached the outer Imperial cordon, Lieutenant concluded.
Events were moving swiftly, far quicker than Arcadesi could comprehend at first. Gaps interrupted his sense of continuity, like he was part of the edited précis of a mission briefing. Only he was living the mission in that moment, and had no recollection of the omissions.
Head wound must be retarding my cognition.
Mentally he shook it off. A fleet of starships crept onto the view screen. Vast behemoths, swathed in meters-thick armor and cocooned by flickering void shields, they shrugged off the ineffectual enemy flak batteries with disdain. They moved slowly but relentlessly, as if snagged on the darkness of real space, but knifing through the void with keen inexorability. Weapon arrays flashed across their flanks, and forward arc lances spat long beams of destructive fury.
All weapons focus fire on the lead vessel,
said Arcadesi, voice grating but mind sharpening with the immediacy of a threat.
Gunners 1 through 4, alter trajectories.
He checked the atmospheric position of the lead ship using the instrumentation at his disposal. Like the view screens, he had only just noticed the control console.
To marked coordinates.
Shrieking servos presaged the movement of the guns. Ammo hoppers cycled furiously, pouring a ready supply of super-heavy shells into their vast mags.
A quartet of ranging targeting locks combined into a single reticule. Despite his injuries, Arkadaisy braced his hands upon the command console and stood up, disengaging the control jacks in the process. Green monochrome shed from the bank of view screens underlit his war-ravaged face.
Fire!
A dense wave of noise and the actinic stench of expelled munitions accompanied the cannonade. Multiple hits registered against the front arc shields of the lead cruiser. Voids, already under assault from a shoal of Allied frigates on intercept courses, shimmered, flickered once, and crumpled. Sustained barrage from the macro cannons ripped a line of explosions across the nose and underbelly of the cruiser, which yawed badly like a jackknifed freighter on an oil slick. Slipping out of formation, it slewed across the other enemy vessels in the line. Unable to halt their brutal momentum, the other cruisers collided with the stunned body of the stricken lead ship. Silent fire roared through real space, lighting a beacon that was devoured in seconds. A moment later, and the lead ship's reactor went critical, unleashing a nuclear flare as bright as star death, consuming the vessels surrounding it. It was the mortal spark of a flotilla, and brought a savage smile to Arkadaisy's features as he shielded his eyes against the flash. Magnesium white was fading when a Vox unit built into the command console crackled, and the voice of a warrior king issued forth, cutting short the ultramarine shouts of victory.
Warriors of the Ardent Reef, this is Rogel Dorn. The War Master comes knocking at our gates. You are the vanguard. Your body, its bricks. Your blood, its mortar. Hold fast for as long as you can. I honor you, each and every one, for your sacrifice. Praetorians all, your name shall live on into eternity. Man the last gate and do it with defiance in your hearts and a clenched fist. Give the arch-traitor nothing. Make him pay for every meter with blood. We stand as one, unified in purpose. In the Emperor's name and for the survival of Terra, hold.
Lord Dorn himself was watching, and Arkadaisy would follow his order as if it had been given by his own Primarch. Taking his attention away from the debris of the sundered vessels above, his gaze alighted on the battlefield below. Infantry cohorts, each 100 strong, had engaged the first wave of landed warriors. Even supported by a host of battle tanks, the traitor legionaries were tearing them apart. An arterial flash of crimson against white and blue battleplate revealed the allegiance of the warriors battering at their doors, and Arkadaisy fought down a cold chill of despair at that knowledge.
Berserkers let slip their leash, he muttered.
Lieutenants seemed not to hear or care. Possessed of no anima, he was like a suit of armour. A retinal display flicked down over Arkadaisy's eye from a command circlet he only just realised he was wearing, and he brought up the armoured face of each of the ultramarines leading one of the army cohorts. Names eluded him. They were merely brother veteran, defined by suffix, alpha through kappa.
Withdraw and consolidate,
he barked into the feed, before distributing specific orders to each brother veteran in turn. By degrees, the combined defenders began a fighting retreat, tightening their formation around the strongest remaining cohorts and allowing the others to form the rearguard. Tank battalions were sacrificed valiantly to stall the advance of the enemy warriors, ripped to armoured husks in a cascade of incendiaries and sword metal.
Intensify fire by ranks,
Arkadaisy continued, assessing and reassessing the conflict through the vertical slit and view screens.
Do not engage directly.
Against the berserk warriors, keeping them at arm's length was the only hope of forestalling a massacre. Hold fast for as long as you can. The words came back to him. Casting his eyes skywards for a moment, Arkadaisy saw a flotilla of Imperial ships commanding the scrap of real space above. He turned to his gunners.
Bring ordnance down on the rear ranks, thin their numbers, and we'll roll over what's left.
The macro cannons altered alignment again, and a series of pulsing reports rang throughout the fortress. Through the vertical slit, Arkadaisy witnessed the hammering of the first enemy wave. It was split apart by the barrage, fading dust and smoke revealing the heaped corpses of warriors he had once called ally. Their deaths did little to salve the pain in his heart, but they bolstered the army cohorts who massively outnumbered the attackers now. The ground battle turned into a stalemate.
"Finally done, my lord," said Lieutenant. "The enemy are contained."
His tone lacked personality, as if the response was merely programmed.
"For now, brother," Arkadaisy replied.
The Vox unit crackled again before anything further could be said, warning of approaching vessels in the region of space over which they stood sentinel. A glance at the viewscreen revealed a much larger fleet. One vessel in particular stood out from the rest, leading the line. Vengeful Spirit. Horus's flagship was immense, a jagged spike of black against black, bristling with guns and growling with the sentience of a barely caged beast. A host of other cruisers and monstrous capital ships surrounded it, but all were dwarfed by the War Master's battle barge. This was the instrument of Horus's will in the void, the darkling vessel that embodied his craven pact with chaos, and the promise of omnipotence should he deliver this last bastion of mankind to its ruinous gods. When it spoke, it did so in a roar, with the sound of an array of guns powerful enough to kill worlds. The vengeful spirit issued a single word from the mouths of its many cannons, and that word was doom. The Imperial Intercept flotilla vanished in a hot storm of fire and silence, blown away like ash on the solar wind. Real space throbbed with the violence of their destruction, sore and hurting with the wound inflicted upon it by Horus's flagship. For once, Arkadaisy hesitated.
How can we prevail against such unbounded fury?
But he was an ultramarine, and if he knew anything, it was duty. He had a line to hold, for the Emperor, for Terra, and all the many souls of mankind that would be sacrificed to thirsting gods should he fail.
Cycle guns up. Rake the escorts. Pick them apart. We'll snarl up the flagship in the dead hulks of its own fleet.
The vengeful spirit was still too distant to fire on. At such extreme range, a ship that size, with its armor and shields, would shrug off the cannonade like an insect sting. Its outriding vessels were a different prospect. They had burned engines to sweep in front of the Goliath flagship, like lesser predator fish swarming around a leviathan of the deep. Arkadaisy wanted to create a graveyard of broken vessels for the vengeful spirit to wade through. Even if they could slow the flagship down, that would be a victory of sorts.
"Sustained and heavy barrage," he ordered. "Do not cease fire until you run empty."
The fusillade had lasted less than a minute when the fortress was hit by one of Horus's larger retinue ships. Arkadaisy was lifted off his feet in the resulting blast wave. Chips of rockcrete stung his face where they pierced skin and flesh. One embedded itself in his jaw, but he ignored it. He rolled, vertiginously failing to grip the edge of the command throne as he was smashed over it. Fire, smoke, and noise filled his senses. Somewhere he heard a choked scream.
Gunner is dead.
Up on his feet faster this time, Arkadaisy shook off the disorientation and peered through fading smoke to see his worst fears realized. A broken puppet of a warrior slumped half out of his weapon harness, his body bifurcated along the waist. Most of the left side of his skull was crushed. His remaining eyes stared from a bloodied face that had once been noble, but was now horrific. Lieutenant had vanished from sight in the hellstorm. Arkadaisy didn't know if the ultramarine was alive or dead. Debris lay everywhere, wreathed with choking dust. A chunk of fortress wall had collapsed inwards, and the roar of battle outside grew louder with its absence. Charred flesh stink and the acerbic tang of incendiary heat bled in on a turbulent wind. After a brief cessation, the other guns resumed their barrage. On a cracked viewscreen, its image intermittent and crazed with static, the vessel responsible for wounding the fortress was broken apart. A fourth gun, still operational, lay silent. The vengeful spirit drew closer, battering the shattered vessels aside without slowing. They'd have to target it soon, attempt the impossible, and bring down, or at least slow, a ship that could rip apart their fortress and the asteroid into which it was hewn with a single desultory burst of its guns. Arkadaisy staggered over to the stalled cannon, hauled out the dead gunner, and climbed into the firing harness. A targeting crosshair overlaid his vision, its macro zoom enabling him to pick out specific vessels powering through the void. Through the azure glow of the targeting matrix's filter, he saw a furious space battle unfolding. A number of immense Imperial Emperor-class ships had moved to blockade the route of the vengeful spirit and its personal vanguard. Star flashes, smudges of ultralight, signaled the unleashing of their forward lances. The large frigate was transfixed by several beams concurrently and exploded into a supernova, radiating heat death in an invisible fog from its burned reactors. Lining up a cruiser wallowing in the sundered vessel's wake on his reticule, subconsciously aware of the ammo count to the extreme right of his screen, Arkadaisy gripped the firing triggers. A steady staccato drummed through his body as the harness failed to fully dampen the recoil from the massive gun. No mortal could have used the macro cannons. Their bones would be reduced to splinters, their innards rendered to soup in a single salvo. Arkadaisy endured it, revelled in the cathartic satisfaction of seeing a tear open up in the cruiser's aft. Drooling men and fuel, it slowed and fought for retaliatory firing solutions. Three more macro cannons stitched lines of super-heavy shells into its flanks, burst open entire decks, collapsed towers and ripped open full sections of armour plating as the voids capitulated utterly. "Bring it down!" Arkadaisy was bellowing now, venting his frustration at the certainty that this was but a forestalling of all their deaths. A rippling chain reaction broke the cruiser into several pieces, now little more than flotsam, awash on a dark and uncaring ocean, a tomb of flash-frozen heretics cast to oblivion. Tracking that sea of utter black, Arkadaisy found and locked on to another ship. A snap-fired salvo collapsed a few shields, broke up some comms towers before a heavy grip on his shoulder pulled him away from the myopic universe to which he was a willing prisoner.
"Our ground forces are failing, my lord!"
Lieutenant was still alive, bloody-faced with a jagged line of crimson across his cheek that was bleeding onto his neck and rimming the edge of his gorget, but alive.
"I can take the gun, sir,"
he added. Arkadaisy nodded, yanked up the firing harness to let Lieutenant in, and went to the command console.
"How?"
Where only moments ago the battle was bogged down in a time-eating stalemate, now the traitors had regrouped, their forces inexplicably replenished. They were losing again. More than that, something else moved amongst the warring throngs, red-fleshed, with eyes black like darkest flint, a baleful aura exuding off their brawny bodies in a visceral steam. Arkadaisy had no words to describe these monsters. Entire phalanxes of men, those who had lost their legionary captains, fled in the face of the horrors. Bolter fire swept them up, tore them apart like threshed wheat. Those loyal warriors still fighting were hard-pressed to last much longer before a full-scale rout saw the end of their resistance. Arkadaisy engaged the comm bead in his ear.
"How many men do we have as a garrison?"
Lieutenant answered perfunctorily. 50 Legionis Astartes and 100 times that in army auxiliaries. They await you in the lower deep before the gate."
"I did not ask it."
Arkadaisy let it go. Lieutenant wasn't listening anymore. His final words to Arkadaisy haunted him as he walked to the lifter plate that would convey him to the lower deep and the last defenders of the fortress.
"It has been an honour to serve with you, my lord."
The reply sounded hollow, even untruthful.
"And you, Lieutenant?"
Shrouded in shadows, dust motes spiralling earthwards with the recoil from the macro cannons, the lower deep was a vast and echoing space. In its centre, standing to attention in a pool of lambent light, was a square of over 5,000 men. Ultramarines officers stood head and shoulders above the army soldiers, bolters locked across their chests. When the lifter plate touched down, Arkadaisy realized he was wearing his full panoply of war, including cloak and laurel. He perceived the warriors he was about to command to their deaths through the red retinal lenses of a battle helm. Clasped to his left thigh was an ornate scabbard. On the right, holstered and fully loaded, was a bolt pistol. The command circlet was gone. A servitor armourer that hadn't been with him when the lifter plate descended was by his side now and bowed humbly.
"Serf, my blade," he said,
holding out his hand for the servitor armourer to place his sword in it. The hilt felt strong. It lent strength to Arkadaisy's arm as he touched it.
"I know my purpose now," he muttered to the creature,
which backed away as Arkadaisy stepped off the lifter plate and into the fortress's lowest level. He didn't question, for nothing he could have asked or had an answer to would matter in the moments to follow. Instead, he merely asked, "Are you ready to make your sacrifice with me and die in the name of Terra?"
"For throne and emperor,"
over 5,000 voices replied in shouted unison. Arkadaisy nodded and found steel in the eyes of every one of these warriors.
"Open the last gate," he ordered.
And the gates ground open noisily, letting in the light and the blood and the death. Time slipped. It had happened before, but this was the first occasion when Arkadaisy could remember it happening and notice it. 5,000 had become 500, surrounded in the middle of the battlefield by a baying throng of beasts shaped like men, and men shaping to become beasts. Demons all. Such a curious, archaic word, yet it felt apt. In seconds, 500 became 50, so only Arkadaisy and his legionary brothers remained. Wasn't I supposed to be one of the last? Aside from the Crusader host, the rest of Gilliman's legion was last reported to be on Kalth. The incongruity of his unknown company brothers, the faces without names, the warriors bereft of diversity or personality, only just struck Arkadaisy in those final moments. The stench of burning flesh assaulted his nostrils, even through the grill of his battle helm, as the power sword slid from a traitor's chest. A second blow cut head from neck. A third blocked the thrust of another assailant. Churning teeth met superheated adamantium in a collision of sundered metal. A point-blank bolt pistol salvo took out part of the berserker's face. He fell, and behind him loomed a creature wrenched from hell. It flickered incorporeally, flitting between realities, preternaturally fast. It was rage, distilled and fashioned into bestial flesh. It was horned and bayed with a resonant cry of promised damnation. High above the battlefield, a shadow grew over the force dome that surrounded the fortress asteroid in hermetic void shielding. Slow-moving, it slid with a predator's ease across the canvas of space, eclipsing entire nebulae. The beast before Arkadaisy was emboldened by the vast ship's presence and the suppressed despair of the ultramarine, who looked upon it and recognized the manner of his death. As the first of the vengeful spirit's gun batteries opened up, birthing miniature suns against the atmospheric blister cocooning the fortress asteroid, Arkadaisy still dared to believe they could resist. Power sword met stinking hellglaive, releasing a shower of black sparks into the air as Arkadaisy parried the beast. He missed a second blow and felt agonizing heat seize his body. Laughing, the beast looked down and bade its enemy to do the same. Sulfurous breath washed over Arkadaisy in a burning fog as the demon's mirth increased. Jutting from the ultramarine's chest, a half meter deep, was the hellglaive. Light was dying in Arkadaisy's eyes. The ring of cobalt he had forged around him from those 50 battle brothers all but broken, just as another light was born overhead. Opening up its awesome prow weapons, the vengeful spirit needed only to speak one final time before the force shield around the fortress asteroid was overwhelmed. nucleonic fire, rushed from the heaven to meet him, bathing his world in pellucid white. As Arkadaisy closed his eyes, only to wake again, drowning in darkness. Blood tasted metallic in his mouth and he couldn't move. After a few seconds, Arkadaisy realized it was because he was strapped down. Awareness was slow to come. His head itched as if an insect swarm had run amok inside his skull, and his body was raw and tenderized. Judging by the solid walls, which only now resolved as he adjusted to the dark, he was being held in some kind of cell. On his back, as if in repose, it was difficult to discern much more. Instinct suggested he was not alone, and he called out,
"Where am I?"
Peripherally, he was aware of a presence behind him, but it was foggy, as if somehow veiled. The presence behind him didn't answer. Instead, an elliptical portal of light appeared, just visible if he peered down his face. Two figures, barely more than silhouettes, stood within its confines.
"Who are you? What is the purpose of my incarceration?"
He'd been taken. Somehow, he'd survived the nucleonic fire and become a prisoner of the enemy. One of the observers was massive, twice again as tall as Arkadaisy. He cast an immense shadow, black on black. Encased in hulking power armor, he emanated strength.
Horus.
Arkadaisy could not suppress a scowl, all the snarl in his voice.
"Slay me now, Hellkite, and save your time."
It was the other figure, much slighter, much smaller, and clad in long robes, that answered.
"You are safe here, Brother Arkadaisy," he said,
his tone cultured and stately.
"Then release me."
The armored giant left the elliptical portal, disappeared somewhere into the background where Arkadaisy could not see him.
"I cannot.
I am a legionary captain of the Ultramarines, and if I am not a prisoner of war aboard this vessel, you will let me go."
"You are not on a ship, Ultramarine."
"Then where?"
"That is not important. The important thing is that you are on the verge of passing the trial and returning to active duty."
Arkadaisy's face contorted into an incredulous expression.
"I have already done so, commanding a fortress as part of the Ardent Reef. I was just..."
His thoughts were clouding, hard to grasp and hold on to.
"Are you? Is that where you've been all this time?"
asked the robed figure. Incredulity became anger.
"What is going on?"
He pulled at the restraints, keeping him in a supine position.
"And why am I strapped down? I died."
"Only in your mind. And the restraints are for your own protection.
But how could you..."
And like a lantern had been set ablaze inside his head, an ugly truth was revealed.
"I'm not alone in here. There is a psyker with me. One of us."
"One of us?"
The figure seemed not to acknowledge the disgust in Arkadaisy's voice.
"A librarian,"
he stated flatly, consternation edging his tone.
"Trawling through my memories, implanting scenarios. How else could you have muddied my thoughts, forced images into my psyche and made them seem real? What of the Nicaea Edict? What of the Emperor's will?"
he demanded.
"Things have changed. Necessity forces us into compromise and hard choices. We have to be sure. I hope you can understand that."
Arkadaisy was finding it hard to master his anger and indignation.
"Sure of what?"
"Of your ability to make sacrifices, function under pressure, and do all that is necessary to achieve your mission, even if that meant losing the battle and your life. You have been absent from the front line for many years. Even on Bastion, you were merely a bodyguard."
"Bastion? Hecatan died there. The salamander's face as he fell into the fire still haunts me.
The road figure continued.
The training had to be harsh in order to test you sufficiently. Is that why I'm bleeding?
Arkadaisy asked.
And strapped into this chair? The scenarios provoked by the Librarius are potent. They have to be to seem real. A side effect is that they can, and often do, manifest physical symptoms sympathetic to the mental ones experienced. There is nothing here that does not serve the greater goals of the Imperium. Then why are you hiding in shadows? Darkness aids the process. Besides, it wouldn't matter if I weren't. And the attack? Has not yet begun. But the War Master's fleet could emerge from the warp at any moment. We must be ready. So there was no time for endless training. Utilizing the Librarius provided expedient answers.
The scowl on Arkadaisy's face suggested he did not agree, but he found he couldn't maintain his anger. Unconsciousness was crawling at the edge of his vision again, as a sensation of weightlessness took hold.
I'm sorry,
said the robed figure with genuine regret.
For what?
Arkadaisy answered groggily.
For what I have to do next.
Arkadaisy passed out on the chair, eyes flickering as he returned to unreality. The robed figure nodded to the librarian standing behind the slumbering ultramarine. The psyker had his hand poised over Arkadaisy's head. A nimbus of crackling psi energy played about the psychic hood he wore.
Thank you, Brother Umagin.
Lord Sigillite.
As he retreated back into the observation chamber, Malkador met the steely gaze of the armor-clad giant.
His mind will be cleansed, asked the warrior.
Heavy gears sounded through the metal, and the lozenge-shaped maglift began to ascend the rail on a plate of anti-gravitic power. Slowly, it rose higher, and the cell began to shrink, revealing a second cell alongside it, and then a third, fourth.
I shall see to it personally,
answered the Sigillite.
You should be smiling, Lord Praetorian. Arkadaisy will make a perfect commander upon the Ardent Reef.
A hololithic image dominated much of the chamber that the giant warrior now approached and regarded. In grainy resolution, it described the slowly rotating orb of terror and the thousands of defense asteroids which now surrounded it.
Even so, the warrior rumbled, it will still not be enough.
Malkador sighed.
No, it will not. In every projected scenario, Horus breaks the reef apart.
He paused before asking.
Are you willing to approve, Captain Arkadaisy?
The warrior exhaled a long and rueful breath.
Run it again, he said, turning from the hololith. Run them all again.
The maglift was still climbing. Hundreds of chambers were revealed, their subjects under psychic trance, each presided over by a librarian from diverse legions sent back to Terra by Captain Garrow and his cohorts. Malkador could feel the minds of each and every one, hear the distant sigh echo of battle in their thoughts. He had dreamed of the assault on Terra many times, and in every somnambulant vision, it had not ended well.
As you command, Lord Dawn.
Arkadaisy awoke to find blood trickling down the side of his face. He was injured, a head wound, but couldn't recall any battle where he'd received it. A fortress surrounded him on all sides, and the rumble of cannon emplacements in the walls brought him out of unconsciousness. Pushing to his feet, he saw a battle brother he didn't know.
Lieutenant,
he said, recognizing the ultramarine's rank markings.
Report!
That was The Gates of Terror by Nick Kine, read by Jonathan Keeble.